Time once again for the Staying Game podcast featuring Midwestern State head football coach Bill Maskell. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for checking out the podcast this week. And coach, I know you have the 24-hour rule, but it seems like that would be a really tough rule to follow this week. That loss at West Texas has got to be a tough one to get over.
Yeah, it's, it kind of felt like deja vu with Central Washington. You know, playing a good football team, and you come off at halftime, and you think that you're under control, and then defense stops in that first series, and then we shoot ourselves in the foot, and they go down and score, and then, you know, a couple series later, we get the ball, we have a 4-yard punt, and we janked it, and we take all the way down to one. That time, I mean, we passed this out. I think everybody in the stadium felt Midwestern was going to take charge. Unfortunately, we fumbled it. That was the beginning of the end. But sun comes up the next day, and we've had a good week of practice, and anxious to finish out the week tomorrow and fine-tune on Friday and get ready to play another game on Saturday.
Well, you've kind of answered my next question, which was, what's been the team's attitude? How have they rebounded from the disappointment in Canyon?
Well, I think Monday, we don't meet on Sunday. It's our day off. And, they've got treatment and study hall, and so we don't see, if there's 100 players, I see 3 or 4 of them. So I don't know exactly how they fell on Sunday. I know coming home on the bus, on both offense and defense and bus, it was, you could hear a pin drop, it was upset. The time I got on the bus till I got off the bus, I didn't hear anybody speaking to anybody. I think it was a tough loss, and I think it hurt, and I think that means that's a good thing, that they care. Monday, very solemn in the meeting. I just kind of put out the, where we were and where we're going and how we're going to get there. Put that behind us and go forward.
Because where you are, you still got a chance to win the Lone Star Conference outright. And I think when the season started, that was kind of the goal, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, we've nothing's been easy for us this year. And I think we just got to know what we have to do, and then we've got to go out and perform and execute, and then we can't have turnovers. If you look at the Central Washington game and you look at this game, the similarities are there were 6 turnovers in the Central game. In this game, there was 2, well, actually 3, and that last drive of the game. So you take away the turnovers, and we may have a different record this season. Unfortunately,
you know, and another play was the block punt, and if you could have recovered that in the end zone, you get a touchdown instead of a safety. I mean, that's easier said than done. I realize that, but there's that game Saturday had so many moments like that, and those are things that you can't necessarily control as a coach, and that's got to be tough, because I would think as a coach you feel like you've done everything and put guys in a position to win, but it didn't happen for you.
Well, it was great. You talk about the punt. It was a great job by Justin Jones. I mean, he just got a good jump and avoided the blocker and took the ball off the foot and damn near recovered it. I think hindsight, but that doesn't help either. But all you had to do is just keep the ball in bounds instead of trying to recover it. And we're going to get a safety anyway, regardless of who recovers it. But, in the heat of the moment, you just do what you do. We appreciate him blocking it, and it was momentum changer. And, we got to play a better second half. That's the bottom line. And I have to look at our stats to see how we've done all year long in the first half. But some of the first halves in the Central game and this game, we're up. And not by a lot, but we're up. And executed Commerce, we executed Kingsville, we executed Eastern New Mexico, we executed. So we just got to learn from what happened and how it happened, and be better Saturday.
Do you think the team got ahead of itself Saturday night when you got ahead at halftime and maybe started thinking about winning instead of just playing play after play after play?
You know, I can't answer that. I don't know. I know that at halftime we were focused and locked in, and we made the adjustments that we felt like we need to make. And like I tell the coaches, players, you can't measure momentum. Your momentum is a big, big factor. It breeds enthusiasm. Enthusiasm breeds confidence, and confidence breeds success. And that's exactly what happened. I'm not sure if we didn't have instant replay that night, it didn't rule it a touchdown. But he was in the end zone. It's possible that the ground caused the fumble, but I don't know that for a fact.
Would you like to see replay at the Division II level? I mean, we see it in volleyball games. We see it in basketball games. Should we see it in football games?
Absolutely. I think that what I'd like to see in Division II, if I had a voice or had any power within NCAA, is that all the rules and regulations that are in Division I, I think ought to be in place in Division II. We shouldn't be the stepsister, the stepchild of Division I. For example, Division I can play four games, and that rule was passed 3 or 4 years ago, where they can play the first four games, I think, or maybe four games during the course of the year, and not count as the year. Division II, any better discussion. That would be instrumental in the development of players early on. I can name a number of other situations that D1 has that D2 doesn't have. And that rule right there didn't cost anybody anything.
Right.
The instant replay, it is possible that you'd have to have people in the booth read an extra official or a trained official. And I'm sure that would cost money. But, if instant replay is helping the game, then there's no reason why it shouldn't be at all.
When you watch other games, when you watch Division I games, or you watch NFL games, do you think replay helps the game?
Oh, I think in some cases it does. In some cases it doesn't. It takes the judgment out of it in terms of you see it and you make a clear-cut decision based upon what you see. When we played Tarleton, they told us that, for example, that our touchdown right before half that we scored on with Jalen March. They said that they review the angles that they have, they review it. And because it was declared a touchdown, there has to be consequential evidence that it wasn't a touchdown. And then the angles that they had, it didn't do that. And in reality, he may not have got that. But the instant replay with whatever they have, I don't know what they have. I'm sure they got an old copy, a white copy, go-on copy, the side copy right there. That they couldn't, the review couldn't overrule the call on the field.
Yeah, in that case, the replays I saw, you couldn't overrule it. And there was one replay where it looked like he did get in, but it was not, it wasn't right down the goal line, so you couldn't be 100% sure. But you're right, because they called it a touchdown, there wasn't anything there to overturn it. Sometimes I feel like at the Division I level that the referees rely too heavily on the replay. And I think sometimes it takes away from the game. But on the same token, it's nice when there's just an atrocious call that they have a way to go and get it right. So I always have kind of mixed feelings about replay.
Well, just for example, Saturday night, the play, right, that we're down on the 5-yard line, the collision between our receiver and their DB. In the viewing that I saw, I don't think there was pass interference. I don't think it was, if anything, it should have been targeted. And I'm not sure if it was targeted. And yet they called it pass interference, which I think was a bad call. But it was advantageous to us. Now, if there's instant replay and it's not pass interference, then we're not down on the 1-yard line. But because it was ruled pass interference, and we don't have instant replay, that then you got to play it as that. And so that would have, that instance without, because I really don't think it was pass interference. I mean, kid was going for the ball just like our kid, and they ran into each other.
Well, and we've had that call go the other way on us several times this year where we didn't get the call maybe when we thought we should have. A couple times in Central Washington, it seems like there was another instance at home where that happened. Looked like there was early contact and we didn't get the call. So they say those things balance out. I don't know if they do or not. But I did want to also point out that the young man that was injured on that play, I did get word after the game that he was okay. So that was good news. And I know that always has got to hit when you have those moments. It's got to hit Midwestern State, you know, in a way more profoundly than maybe other teams.
Well, I didn't go on the field initially because I wanted them to have their moment as a team and as a, the individual. And I didn't want to interfere unless it kept going. I just felt like I needed to go out there. Not that I was going to do anything or say anything that was going to change the situation, but I know one of the coaches called me by. I turned my back coming back, and somebody on the sideline or somebody up top said, get them over there and play with their team. And that's when we all came running out. And we still have a couple of kids on the team that were here when Bobby was here. And so that were on the field that night, 2017. So, yeah, that was, you know, I was hoping that it was severe as Bobby's.
And it's always tough to turn around and have to play, you know, once they've got him taken care of and he's off, you still have a lot of football. Is it tough to compartmentalize? It seems like the athletes are able to do it. You see it. I don't want to say you see it all the time, but when these things happen, football players are able to get back out there and play.
You know, young people feel invincible. Nothing's going to happen to me. Something's going to always happen to somebody. But I think that our young folks are resilient. They wear their emotions on their sleeve. And, you know, when something bad happens, some of them can overcome it, and some of them can't. I know we preach adversity in a number of different ways, almost every day. And I think in the heat of the moment, adversity, you don't know how a guy's going to respond in an emotional moment of adversity. But we try to relate it to life, whether it's a child that's born and doesn't live, or whether it's an accident and loved ones is. Passes in an accident, there's a divorce, I fail out of school, you know, we try to say, okay, now what's next? You know, what are you going to do next? You know, you're going to sit there and, yes, it's a tragic moment, but you can't stay in the funk, you've got to go forward today. the next day he's going to be here, whether you like it or not. And try to relate that to the game, because the game was a lot of ups and downs.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's so many life lessons you can learn from sports. And I think that's something that a lot of us, that appeals to a lot of us, is that you can take those lessons that you learn in sports and take them in your everyday life. Let's get back to just talking about football right now, though. And I was just looking at what the defense has done from Midwestern State over the last few weeks. You only allowed 17 against Tarleton. You only gave up 10 against Western. Even last week at West Texas, you only gave up 15. I know there are moments, plays you'd like to have back, but overall, this defense is playing really well. I think in the last 13 trips in the red zone, the opposition's only scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think the big difference is the improvement of defensive backs. In all of the season, we were giving up long passes, multiple long passes, and we were due injuries to kids not being ready, to us playing and trying to match what we were playing against. We hadn't settled on a group back there. And I think that that group has got probably the most improved on the defensive side of the ball. And when you don't give up big plays, with runs or passes, then the momentum doesn't change. Like Saturday, the momentum changed. Us running into our own personnel, running into our own punter. And that created a score, and then the 99-yard drive was how many plays it was, 13, 14, and it was out. And Nickel Dimes, and we helped. We helped him. We had a pass interference call in there, and we got 3rd-and-1. We jumped offside. So a little bit of lack of discipline. A little bit smart.
Offensively, it's been kind of an up and down year for you. You have games, or even like you pointed out earlier, you've got halves where you've played really well, but then things kind of slip away for maybe a couple of series. Do you feel like the offense has had a hard time finding its identity this year?
Somewhat, yeah. You generally go with the ball team as the quarterback goes. And Dylan's had some really outstanding games, and he's had some that have been not so outstanding, and some matches. I like to think that you have to be able to run the football when you want to run it. If you're not able to run the ball, defense can just tee off every down. You better be really, really good throwing the ball and protecting. I think our protection has been pretty solid all year long. We've given up 8 sacks. Gave up 1 in the second half. Late in the game, I think we got sacked on the last drive. But we're playing. We're playing the 2 freshman wide receivers that Jalen Moore and Trey Rock. And both of those guys have been injured. So when you're injured and you miss a game, you're rusty when you get back. We're not an overly big offensive line like some of the people that we play. So running the ball, we're probably better throwing the ball than we are running. And we've been a big play team, with the big chunks of yardage at one time, run and pass. And that creates momentum as well. And we've had 2 drives. that Thomas game, we had a 99-yard drive.
Yep. I think he's had a 99 and a 97 this year. And I think he had 1 over 80. So you've been able to put together some long drives as well.
We just, our whole thing as a football team is consistency and execution. There's times where we get whooped. There's times where we run the same play pretty good at it. So, you know, last week we had a number, a big number of not our standards or mental errors and the lack of attention to details in all three phases. And you just can't have that missed assignment or mental error and be productive on any phase of the game. If we wouldn't end up digits. And but we have. And so that's been the emphasis this week, is to be more diligent in our assignments and to do the little things better and do them right all the time.
We've talked about the offense and defense, and you mentioned the three stages, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about special teams, because that was one of the big plays. We mentioned the block punt. So in special teams, you've had some big plays, but there's also been some errors. What's your overall evaluation of special teams?
I think it's been good. We've had one block punt. That really wasn't by scheme. It was more of a block that they slipped by us and put an arm out, and we didn't send him the guy up. But I think our punters put the ball, I don't know what they're averaging term wise, but it can't be very much. They haven't, our net punting has been pretty good.
Yeah, you've been able to dictate field position with your punting for sure. And you've got a kicker that you can rely on, and I thought for sure we were going to get that ball in a position for maybe Rizzi to maybe tie the game the other night, but it just didn't work out. But it's nice to have a kicker that you have confidence in that he can stick it between the uprights.
Yeah, for the first time in about 5 or 6 years, we have that as consistent as him. But I think the kicking game has been consistent all year long. Coaches have done a really good job of it, and taking pride in what they're doing, and our players working it. And we spend a lot of time on it, and I like the consistency that we've had. Like I said, the kickoff return team has just been, there's been some explosive plays, and kickoff coverage team hasn't been super long run yet. Punt return team last week came of age a little bit when they blocked the punt, but then the next series we run into the returner. So there's some things that we can clean up that'll make us better, and obviously it's easy to clean those kind of things up.
Well, we've got Permian Basin coming up, and I know it was just the spring season. It wasn't a full season, and it was kind of an odd feeling to those, that series of games. But I know you were really disappointed to lose to Permian Basin in that spring game. And is this a game that the team has kind of been looking forward to? Have they circled this game? Is Permian Basin a burgeoning rivalry for Midwestern State?
Oh, I don't know that it's a rivalry. I think that our players, the way we lost last spring, they're very disappointed. We as coaches were very disappointed. We didn't play the game the way we played. And I think I told you that our players heard that from us as coaches on that Monday after the game. They were 100% aware of our feelings. I think they were embarrassed by how we got there. And now you got to give them credit. They won. They did. You know, they won. Both had chances. Both told them they didn't perform. They did. But they've got a new team. They've got a new team. And so, you know, there's a lot of players that played for us last spring that are still here, and vice versa. So they've got a lot of players that are here. But the makeup of who we are is not who we were this spring, for sure.
So you don't think you get any extra motivation for this week by what happened in the spring?
I think our players are aware and can remember what happened. Right now, they've got to go out for it. And we get caught up in the emotions. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of emotions Saturday. senior day, last regular season game, a lot of guys. So I think the emotions will be there. We've got to be able to play with some composure and confidence and trust in each other. And I'm sure that our players are looking forward to this game.
So we're here at the end of the regular season. How healthy are you going into this final game of the regular season?
I think pretty healthy. I mean, we've got anybody that's actually we're getting back. Nate Nichols was back with us last week and didn't play much. But I think he'll play Saturday. I think we're fairly healthy. We don't have a lot of guys over the trainer at the end of practice. So that means that everybody's in a position to improve themselves and put themselves on the field.
It's also a Military Appreciation Day, and just in my short time at Midwestern State, it's always a lot of fun because the military personnel that come, they really add a lot of energy to the stadium on those days.
Absolutely. It's the new general's going to be there. The flyover is just awesome. And our players grasp it and wrap their arms around it and military as well. So it'll be exciting.
So as we look at the possibilities of the playoffs right now, you're sitting eighth, need to get to seventh. It seems like if you win the Lone Star Conference outright, you should be a playoff team. There's no guarantee of that. What are your thoughts about the playoffs and qualifying for the playoffs? And do you feel like Midwestern needs style points out of this game in order to get to the playoffs?
Well, first of all, we haven't even talked about the playoffs. 3 weeks ago, we said we're in a three-game playoff. So this is the third of our own playoff system. I just don't think there's any value in us talking to our team about playoffs because it doesn't make any difference if we don't take care of business this weekend. And this is the most important game that we get ready to play. And we do a good job and we win and we get to talk about the playoffs. But I don't think style points. I was on that committee for 8 years, four on the regional level, four on the national level. And what they're looking at how many games do you want against Division II, and people you beat are 500 or better than their record. So, if you look at us, we've got Commerce and West Texas and Angelo, all are above 500. That gives you quality points, if you will. Playing on the road, how will you play late in the year? What is the record of your opponent? To me, those are the things that. I think that our body of work should put us in a position to get in. But we can't control it. It's being done by our regional committee vote, and then that's being reviewed by a national committee, and we have no decision on that. So we elected just to play a team.
Well, it's Permian Basin. It'll be at Memorial Stadium for a Saturday afternoon game. It'll be a 1 o'clock start at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. I mean, what do you think? What's a statistic you think you have to win in order to beat the Falcons? What's an area where you have to excel in order to win this game?
I think that we've, in football. I think that's where it starts. And then I think we've got we need to get to a week when we protect the football and take the football away. I think that we play a lot. So, however, we are able to get the ball back and take it away, not turn it over ourselves, I think that's going to be critical. Which is, like I say, if you compare the two games, you know, I guess they might problem of 17-14, we're in position to win that game and just to make it a play. But we played a clean game. Recall us, we might have had one turnover. But to Washington, Division II game, West Texas Division II game, I think they're both similar opponents. They play a good defense and solid offensively. And, in those two games, we had 8 turnovers total. 6. Again, we're ahead. Halftime. So, we don't turn over Saturday. I believe you're looking at a different football team.
Well, we're looking forward to Saturday afternoon and lifting that trophy at the end of the day and being the Lone Star Conference champions, and then we'll see where the chips fall after that.
Sounds good to me.
Coach, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and we'll visit with you Saturday afternoon after a Midwestern State victory, and appreciate all your time, and we appreciate everybody listening to the Stank Gang podcast featuring head football coach Bill Maskell.
Thank you.